This is the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Come get your hands dirty while we learn the nitty-gritty of leading others the way Jesus did. This is Discipleship Dissected on Coach and Joe.
Welcome to Coach and Joe Podcast. It's a leadership podcast designed to help leaders lead whatever their sphere of influence is. Hopefully, marketplace leaders are joining in and being a part of these conversations, ministry leaders, full-time moms. I'm here with Andy Stone, my friend from across the pond. You guys know him. Andy's an associate pastor here on staff and has had a lot of experience in the past helping people he's leading measure results. So before we even jump into that, good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, doing very well. Thank you.
Doing good?
Yeah.
This chaotic time in America with people storming the Capitol. What is it like for a non-American to be here and watching all this?
It's bizarre to be here and see, and not quite fully understand it, see how much there's division across the country. It's a key time for this nation. I'm glad I'm here for this time to be on the ground and praying. It's kind of slightly strange for us as Brits to look at it and see the whole picture of what's unfolding. And even we don't have guns the same way that you guys do, so it just ramps the whole things up.
It's the most divided I've ever seen America in my lifetime. I'm only 48, but it's unprecedented in my lifetime. It seems we're split down the middle, and I'm at the place this morning where I think just about the only hope we have is prayer.
Absolutely.
And the Father. I want to jump into a conversation with you on how measurement helps leaders win. I'm going to tell you a story. 2018, December the 28th, I just had a moment where I said, I'm really not happy with where I'm at in physical capital. I've talked about it a lot over the years, but I got really sick of it. And I just decided on that day to start hiking. And since then, I've been on 84 hikes, some of them quite grueling. My body has definitely shifted about halfway to where I want to be. But I had an experience with the Father during the early stages of that. I was at the YMCA on an exercise machine. I get a word of knowledge to read someone's blog. I don't read blogs, not because I'm against them. I just don't. I'm not a blog guy. And Holy Spirit sovereignly sent me to a blog by a man named James Clear, an author. Had no idea he had a book called Atomic Habits. I read the blog, and the book that was promoted on the blog was Atomic Habits. So I felt like just an impression to download the book. I download the book, and I don't read it for about a week. And I walk into my closet in my bedroom where I had a sheet of paper pinned to the wall where I was getting on the scale every morning, and then I would write down whatever I weighed. Well, about four mornings into that, you know, the word says my sheep shall hear my voice. I walk in friendship with God. I want to be really good friends with him. I talk to him about everything. You know this. You do too. I heard the Father say to me, you're measuring the wrong thing. That was it. I start reading the book about 3 days later, and holy smokes, the entire book, Atomic Habits by James Clear, is not just about measurement, but what we measure. And so then I just began to simply start measuring hikes. Just measure them. I don't want to ruin the book for you. You ought to go read it. But I made my measurement a different focus. Instead of measuring what I was on the scale, I just said, taking his advice, if I create a habit and I do these 8 to sometimes 15 mile hikes on Fridays, if I stick to the habit, at some point, the habit's going to pay off. Well, most people know who Peter Drucker is. If you don't know Peter Drucker, you should. He's known as the man who invented modern business management. He wrote 39 books on the subject and is widely regarded as the greatest management thinker of all time. And Peter Drucker is credited with one of the all-time leadership quotes. Here it is. You ready? If you cannot measure it, you cannot improve it. Now, it could be a lot. My weight, my finances. I could go on and on and on, right?
Right.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, my blood pressure. I mean, gosh, think about the things we measure. Grades in school. So, here we are. We all have strengths. I love what the word says, one head, many parts of the body. Your strength that you bring to this team, that you're the strongest at, you have lots of experience in helping leaders measure where they're at in whatever they're leading, whether it's children's ministry here or a marketplace leader leading his or her business. We recently, at this staff at Bridgeway, we recently did a two-day internal learning community where we really just measured everything. Talk to me about when your passion for measurement started, when you started implementing what we call the SWOT analysis. Take your time here. What is that thing? Why did we get so much traction as a team this week? And why is Peter Drucker right?
Very good questions. I think when I read the Bible, I see systems and patterns and clear, simple things. If you sow this seed, you will get this fruit. If you sow good seed, you get good fruit. If you sow weeds, you get weeds. So actually, what we are actually doing, we need to have an ability to stop and be really honest about where we are. And that's one of the things that really struck me early on. Firstly, going to the parable of the wise and the foolish builders. Because Jesus says in there, it's not everyone who hears my words. It's actually those who hear my words and put them into practice. And so that that's how you are wise. But so often we kind of think, oh, if I hear more of his words, then I'm going to somehow magically grow. But actually, Jesus defines that in this parable as, well, that's foolish. You can hear these words and not put them into practice, and that is not going to bring you the fruit that you need. And so for us, we have to be really, really honest to start with. This is the vulnerability piece. This is scary when I've done this with lots of church leaders where we actually say, guys, what are you doing? Because the reality of a lot of different church leaders is they are measuring the number of people who turn up on a Sunday morning and saying that is the measure of success, whereas Jesus doesn't measure that. Jesus measured the number of disciples, and he says, make disciples. And, you know, he wanted to change the entire world. Most church leaders, if they wanted to do that, would create the largest conference the world has ever seen, get everybody at it. Whereas Jesus went and found 12 who he invested into day after day after day.
And his ethos, which is defined as a rigorous spiritual habit or discipline, really was more focused towards Peter, James, and John than it was the whole 12.
Right.
Before we jump back into that, have you read Atomic Habits?
Yes.
What is your recollection of the book? What do I mean when the Holy Spirit told me I was measuring the wrong thing? What is James Clear getting at there in terms of even what to measure?
I think, you know, there's lots of people who want to be successful. So, for example, you could have people who are, you know, I want to win a gold medal at the 100 meters. Here's the thing. You can sit there and you can watch it and you can dream about it and you can decide, yeah, I really want that, and have this deep conviction in your heart if that's what you want, and try and stir up all of this inward resolve. But at the end of the day, if you don't get off the sofa and start to create systems and patterns and ways of training and ways of dieting, so changes that are brought to your life, measurable changes that you can see. Okay, I'm running faster here. I'm getting stronger here. I'm eating better here. Every single one of these small changes brings the result.
You know what you said, small?
Yeah.
So I had to do some massive recalibration. God's wired me. I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. I believe in miracles. I'm gift of faith is something that I prefer over than playing it safe. But in the midst of all of our strengths, typically there's a weakness. Sometimes our strengths are our biggest weakness. And I tend to think big. I tend to think go for it. But yet what God has been developing in me really for the past 7 years is the boring side of his nature. And I know he's multifaceted. I get it. He's like a diamond. You turn him 8, 9 times. You find something new every day. But it seems to be that God's built more like a turtle than he is anything else. He's slow, methodical, tedious. That verse in Luke and John, I believe, as was his custom. Jesus actually had a very atomic habit, tedious, boring methodology to his life. Why do leaders just get bored with the boring? Why are Okay, he's reminding me of this. Jim Collins wrote the number one selling leadership book of all time, Good to Great. Well, I actually think his follow-up book is better, and it's called How the Mighty Fall. Before I read the book, you know how what I thought the premise would be? Pride, impurity. You know what it is? It's going too fast, and it's going too big too fast.
Yeah.
So James Clear writes this book, and let's just take something easy to measure, getting out of debt. Instead of thinking, all right, let's say I'm $15,000 in debt. I'm going to get out of that debt in the next 2 months. What if you took 36 months and just plodded along at a little bit of money at a time? I don't care if you're British or American. People don't like that. Yet it seems that most successful people have boring, small atomic habits. Yeah. Why do we fight against that? And why are you good at that?
I think that we fight against it because we live in an instant culture.
That's true.
I was telling Brian Fannin yesterday that a friend of mine, Paul McConaughey, had a vision in which he went into heaven, and the Lord took him to the storehouse of heaven, and it was labeled over the door, the storehouse, and he was so excited to walk in there because he was thinking, wow, I'm going to get everything I need. And he walked in there, and the room was empty, and he was like, deeply disappointed. Lord, what is this? Have you run out? What's going on? The Lord said to him, look closer. And he looked down, and in the middle of the floor, really small, was a seed. And he said, plant it. And so that's what he did. He actually, from that point, we needed to get a breakthrough in finance. And he, at that point, said, okay, Father, I'm going to give. And he began to give extravagantly. And over months, he saw the Lord provide for him first as his family. And then months later, when he began to tell that testimony of how the Lord had provided, many other families began to join into a kingdom economy and to see that transformation came. But it came through boring, step-by-step, do the math.
Great. That's great. Andy, I've been through around a lot of people who've led teams that I've been a part of, teams that I've not been the leader, teams that I have been the leader, through what's called a SWOT analysis. But with zero exaggeration, I've never seen anybody as gifted at it as you are. So much so that I want to film you next time we do this, because I want leaders to draft off of how powerful what just happened with our team was. Someone leading through a SWOT analysis is like the opposite of a celebrity spirit, because it's really not about passion, inspiration, or stirring someone up to go for it. It's actually about clarifying, and then holding people accountable to the results of after the SWOT analysis. So let's just start baby steps here. What in the world is a SWOT analysis? Because whether I'm a full-time mom or a football coach or a lead pastor or a marketplace leader, it doesn't matter. This SWOT analysis, if it's kind of like the Shema, if you're obedient to what the results are telling you, you need to step into, it really can transform organizations. It can transform families. It can transform marriages. I was blown away. I've been around these things for a decade. You're the best I've ever seen at it. What in the heck is a SWOT analysis, and why does it matter?
A SWOT analysis helps you do the brutal hard facts.
Yeah, there you go.
Joe Wicks is a PE teacher in the UK who's trained many people to get thin. He starts with, take a photograph of yourself so that you can see your shape. 90 days later, take a photograph of yourself so you can see your shape. And that's not so much measuring you. He calls the sad step the scales. It's not measuring there. It's actually brutal, hard fact. Do you look different? And the SWOT analysis does that. It drills you into, okay, great, let's celebrate the strengths. Let's find where those are. Let's see where the grace of God is on you to get breakthrough. But let's also be really honest about areas where you're failing right now. The Lord talked to me about this immersion being an altar time. You know, altars were places where you come and, you know, as human beings, the truth of the gospel is we're not perfect. We don't have it all together. We've got to be honest about where we are. And if we come and we bring that vulnerability, we bring that honesty to him, it becomes an altar place. An altar is where you as a human being in your weakness meet divine power. And so...
Hang on. You're saying so much here that's powerful. You're getting into Paul's secret sauce. Paul's secret sauce was brutal, hard facts, even towards himself. He even boasted in what he's not. He boasted in the brutal, hard facts.
Yep.
What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. Let me go really slow here. This, because I've been in leadership now for over 20 years. What I used to notice about myself in my orphanhood days, gosh, it's embarrassing to look back. I mean, I'm sure we all still have some orphanhood in us, but good Lord, back in the day, I was the mayor of Lodi Bar. I ran for president, finished second behind someone else I knew. We're not willing to face the brutal hard facts. Let's get really practical here. I want to take a capital. Let's take physical capital. Joe Keller and I, we've been working out together. We recently took pictures of each other 3 weeks ago. I know that the scale doesn't lie, but good grief, that camera doesn't lie either. So in physical capital, you're able to see the brutal hard facts, whether it's on the scale, whether it's maybe your doctor, blood pressure, whatever. What I have noticed is people will either ignore the brutal hard facts or even spin it as though, well, that's not really the truth. Mm-hmm. Why are we so afraid of brutal hard facts?
I think ultimately it comes down to we build our lives trusting ourselves to fix ourselves. And the reality of the gospel is that we have to be really honest of the places where we can't get breakthroughs and we need to come to the Father to find those places of breakthrough. You know, the reality of Gideon was that he was hiding. He was in a reality where he saw this oppressive army. He had no resource in himself. God intervened, came to him, gave him faith, gave him a sense of, you're a mighty warrior. Why are you here? And then walked him through a journey of, well, what can you do? Can you stand up and call people, even if I whittle them down to, you've only got 300 left now? Do this bit. And that's the partnership of heaven and earth. So think about, you know, the widow who's running out, they've got nothing left. Up comes the prophet who says, well, give me, make some for me of your last little bit. We always have something to contribute. And there's this partnership that happens with us and heaven. And I think the reason people are so scared about this is they don't trust heaven will meet them if they're really honest.
You know what's wild, though, about the Father, and I love this and it also terrifies me. What he identifies, because the Holy Spirit's great at helping you identify what your blind spot is. It's not the blind spot that's identified, the brutal hard facts, whatever it is that needs to be improved on, right? That's not the problem. The problem is when you either buck it or deny it with the Father.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you believe that there are things that we can participate in that actually hinder our prayers?
Absolutely.
Okay, so me too. So listen to this. You don't even know this from last night. An Ascent student has a warning dream about me. This Ascent student, I'm telling you, it has been a long time since I even laughed out loud because I journaled about what this person dreamed of. I journaled it today. So there is something that the Father's identifying that I must give him that is hindering. It's hindering not only my intimacy, but my effectiveness in my prayers. This person has a dream about the same thing the Father wants me to consecrate that is hindering my prayer. What's the point? The point is this. Most people fall apart and say, oh, God would never do that because I'm as clean as Jesus. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. Oh, there's no need to consecrate that. Chad, that's legalism, brother. Don't do that because God loves you. I know he loves me, and he loves me enough to let me know that if I'm going to go to the summit, I got to have a brutal hard facts moment that I cannot go to the summit of his mountain and still hang on to something that I'm hanging on to. To which I tell you this, if I were to tell you what it is, most people would say, well, that's not a sin issue. That's not the point. The point is the Father called out a brutal hard fact. Now I have a choice, whether this is a SWOT analysis on a team or whether it's for spiritual formation. What habits am I going to create? Ethos, because the Lord had them.
Yep.
What habits am I going to create to walk away from what the Father wants me to walk away from? Right?
Yeah.
And so I have found, Andy, in leadership, most people, oh, man, nothing triggers a spiritual orphan like that SWOT analysis.
Yeah.
Let's take the other day, for instance. There was a lot of tension in the room.
Yes.
Because you know what it exposed? We're going after a culture of prayer and discipleship here, and there's a lot of people on the team that talk about it in theory more than they operate in it.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yes.
Why is a SWOT analysis so powerful to get either a person or a team, or even in my story, moving in the right direction? What is the power of the SWOT analysis post brutal hard fact?
Focus, focus, focus. So we specifically did this learning immersion around prayer and discipleship. You get to focus at the SWOT. Well, you say you're praying. Where? Show me in your schedule where you are praying.
Okay.
With who, how, all of those things you begin to see. So, this is where it's reflected.
So talk about these two words. We're getting now into the plan to walk towards wholeness, to walk out the Shema, whatever you want to say, to ascend the mountain. The plan and then acting on it. So we're really getting into the pistis idea of belief.
Yeah.
And in Greek, it has action to it, movement.
Step out in faith, it means.
But you're very good at a plan, and you're just wired to act. I mean, you moved halfway across the world, for heaven's sakes, to be here. Andy, most people aren't. I remember reading Steve Jobs' book, and it was that bell curve. I read an article about early adopters and all the way to laggards. And most of the world, this isn't even a religious type conversation, most of the world's not wired to go, to be proactive. Like Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of a Highly Effective Leader, number two best-selling leadership book of all time. You know what his number one habit is? Be proactive. You want to know why it's his number one habit he wrote on? Because most people are not. Why are we afraid to plan and act and go?
We're held accountable. The plan, I was texting people today to say, send me your schedule, your literal family schedule. Where are you being with your kids? Where are you praying? Where are you working? So that I can literally look at that accountable pattern of life and say, okay, on your five capitals, I mean, I haven't dug into their bank account to work out the financial capital, but you know, if they asked for that, they could do that. They'd probably do that better with a financial advisor than me. But are we actually measuring our capitals and growing them? You can see it in your schedule, whether you are or not.
I think, Andy, and I think this is a good place to close here. I love what David Goggins says. David Goggins wrote a book called You Can't Hurt Me. Has a lot of cuss words in it. A lot of Christians can't handle it. You can get the version that doesn't have any cuss words to it. Navy SEAL, who was once 300 pounds, sprayed for cockroaches, and he snapped. He said, I can't be mediocre anymore. My point is this. David says almost everyone that contacts him on what to do, they all have one thing in common. They overthink it, and they don't create a simple plan to jump into.
Yeah.
So you can even take a SWOT analysis and in theory, go around that thing till Jesus Christ comes back. I personally believe, Andy, that the plan and the action to step into what the Father has asked us to do, maybe command's a better word. I'm tired of saying ask. He doesn't really ask me to do things. He's a sovereign king. Simple plan, total velocity, aggression towards the plan. And stick to it, and stick to it, and stick to it, and stick to it. And I tell you this, for you leaders that are listening, for people that once did life with me 20, 30 years ago, if God can transform a guy like me, who was drawn to comfort for so long, who needed so much affirmation, there's grace for all of us. I have tended to be bored with the boring, and then for the last 5 years, I've been teaching that the boring always brings the breakthrough. I bless you leaders that you would investigate, why is Peter Drucker right? Why do you need to measure your atomic habits? Speaking of that, go and read James Clear's book. I get no kickback on it. There's nothing in it for me. I just want to help as many leaders as possible. I think it's the most influential book I read in the last 2 or 3 years. James Clear, Atomic Habits. Be at peace. God bless you. And we'll see you next episode.
Thanks for joining us on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Don't miss the Coach and Joe Talk Show on YouTube and coachandjoe.com. For epic merch, blogs, and ways to help keep us up and running. We'll see you next time on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast.